bring light. Thank you, Father, because your light will flood our hearts, and according to what your word says, that if our eyes be single, that our entire body can be flooded with light. Thank you, Father, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us minds to perceive what you want us to hear, what the words you have for us, in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, so my text is taken from John 4, it's verse 10. John 4. John chapter 4. Now, this is a story about the Samaritan woman, but I'm going to skip the previous verses. I'm just going to read verse 10, which says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Just going to read another translation. If you only knew who I am and the gifts that God wants to give you, he would have asked for a drink, and I would have given you living water. And my question to us is, how really do we know God? He says, if you knew me, if you knew who I am, and if you knew the gift that I want to give you, you would have asked, and I would have given. And so we want to ask ourselves, do I really know God? This is a question that many people will take lightly. Yeah, I know God. And what many persons mean is that I've heard about God. Because for many Christians, their knowledge of God is what they have learned from their pastors, learned from their elders, and from fellow born-again Christians, which is good. But we have to also remember that Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Who do your pastors say that I am? Who do your friends say that I am? Who do your elders say that I am? But who do you say that I am? So Jesus gives us a responsibility of knowing him personally. You know why? Because God, even though we are a body of Christ, God has unique purposes for each and every one of us. And we can't all look alike. We can't all sound alike. And we see many pastors all over the world, some persons focus on prosperity, some persons focus on faith, and some persons focus on holiness. So God is wanting, he says, I want to do a new thing. What if God wants to start a new thing with you, and all we are doing is following what somebody else is doing? You know, it comes to a point where you really know God, and you want to open up your minds to what God wants to do through you individually, even though it doesn't sound like what you've been hearing previously. For example, we see Samson. Samson comes into the world and he's not supposed to cut his hair. But that's not applicable to everybody. We all can have long hairs and think that's where the power is. That was unique to Samson. John the Baptist comes into the world and he's not supposed to taste any wine. He lives in the wilderness. His clothes are camel hair and his food is locust and honey. That was unique to him. And now here comes Jesus Christ. You know, John's disciples, they come to Jesus Christ and they tell him, so John John's disciples tell him, and some of the Pharisees, we fast, but all you do is eat. You know what? If I were the one, if I were Jesus, I would have felt guilty, because fasting is a good thing. The Bible says John the Baptist came not eating and drinking. They called him a demon. Jesus comes eating and drinking, and they call him a glutton. But Jesus knew why he came. He knew his Father, and he was confident in what his Father had sent him to do. If I were the one, I would have felt guilty, because I would think fasting is more pious. So even if that's not what God told me to do, I would have thought, oh, maybe I ought to be fasting. Maybe I didn't hear well from God. But Jesus knew God. If you knew God and the gift of God, you would have asked and he would have given. So it beholds each and every one of us to find out what it is that God wants me individually to do. What is God's purpose? How do I know God personally for myself? You know, the Bible says that he has called us to draw close to him. He has called us, even as we gather as the body of Christ. The church is only effective as the individual members are effective. If I have found God's purpose for my life, I am pursuing it aggressively, and Ruth has found God's purpose, Ross has found God's purpose, my God, I tell you that when we come together as a body of Christ, there is commitment, there is power. But if each of us, we haven't found God's unique purposes for our lives, so we have these lackadaisical attitudes.
So we have these attitudes where persons are not really committed to the things of God.
Switch it off and switch it on again.
So we have to begin to search the word and have understanding of who God really is. Because we miss out as Christians, we miss out on so many things that God would like us to have because we don't really know him. We miss out on a lot because we do not have the understanding of what God wants us to have. So if we look in Proverbs 23, verse 23, or before that, this scripture that we all know, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. My people perish. I'm going to be using knowledge, understanding, and wisdom interchangeably. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. You know, sometimes we think God is powerful and he's just going to do everything for us. But we have a very huge responsibility because he tells you, I have placed before you life and death. He tells you, choose. So you have a responsibility. And he says, my people, they are my people, they are my children, but they are perishing. God acknowledges that we are perishing. Why are we perishing? Because of a lack of knowledge. Because of a lack of understanding. If you knew me, if you knew the gifts that I want to give you, you would have asked. And I would have given. Jesus tells this woman. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Jesus says, buy the truth, whatever it takes. I have found that many Christians are very lazy as it relates to reading the word of God. And the Bible says the word of God is your life. How else are you going to live your life? You know, when I grew up from the church, right from the time I was a baby, I was dedicated in church, and I've known church people. I've been in church. And when I became born again and I started reading the Bible for myself, not what people are telling me, and I felt God calling me to just you know, I would read the Bible and I would say, Lord, why are you joking? Why are you joking when you said this? Why are you joking? And this is where God begins to draw me and he tells me, my child, I'm not joking. But when I look around me, I said, Lord, I am not seeing the results of what you're saying in the world. Why is my going to be different? Brothers, we have to be tired of this Christianity that's not working. Because I read in the Bible so many things and I'm like, Lord, I have seen Christians all my life. I don't see these things working. Why is mine going to be different? And I found that this is God drawing me, say, come closer. Come closer, and there are things I would like to show you. Because we have many Christians who are, it's just mouth. It's just, the Bible says, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are very far away from me.
Yeah.
And so God wants to draw us, say, by the truth and serve God. Brothers and sisters, whatever it takes, we have to know the truth. We have to read the word and know what it is that God would like us to have. It says, buy the truth.
Amen.
Buy the truth and sell it not. We have, God is not going to send you wisdom from heaven when he has anointed men of God all over the world, which you can glean knowledge from. He's not going to send you wisdom from heaven when there are people you can learn from them, when there are pastors, when there are books scattered all over the world on any subject of your concern. God can use a book to speak to you. He says, buy the truth and don't sell it. Another translation says, embrace the truth, hold it close. Don't let go of wisdom, instruction, and life-giving understanding. Invest in the truth. And you want to ask yourself, how many books do I have that I'm reading to help me know more about God? How many hours, as opposed to what I'm spending doing other things? You know, in the parable of the sower sowing the seed, the third ground, where the seed fell among the thorns, the interpretation was that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choked the word from their lives. Choked the word, and the word brought no fruit. And so we have to ask ourselves, how much of the word of God is being choked by all the cares? When the Bible has said, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. How much of the word of God, how much of what, you know, we lead as Christians. You know, we come like this, we sit and hear the word of God, and then we go home and our minds are clouded with all the cares of this world. You know, I went to fill in my tank, and I found that the petrol price was, I'm not sure how much a liter, but I know I'm spending much more to fill the tank than I would some months ago. And you know, your heart may want to be troubled. I'm like, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not focus on this. Even if gas prices are £1,000 a liter, I will have the money God will provide. And I still appreciate the testimony you gave last week, Sunday. God wants to provide for us. God does not want anything clouding your mind. He says, I will provide. What if you believed when God said, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you? And going back to the text, this comes with understanding who God is.
Amen.
This comes with understanding. If you knew who God is, and if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what he wants to provide for you, you would have asked and he would have given. Now, we want to find out, how can we really get to know God? You know, we have all these limiting mindsets that stop us from really knowing God. We have limiting mindsets. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 78, that the Israelites, they limited the Holy One of Israel. God is saying, I would have wanted to ask what they limited. How did they limit? Because of their thinking. They limited the Holy Ones of Holy One of Israel. So we want to find out, what are these limiting mindsets
that we have. And one of them that I want to bring to the fore is the scripture that you read while we were us. Isaiah 55, verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know, all of my life I have heard that scripture interpreted this way. For example, if I'm believing God for something and it doesn't come to pass, I would say, "Oh, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We never know." That, do you know that we are now in the New Testament and we are one with God? That is all, that is the major interpretation I've heard about the scripture. But you would only have that interpretation if you isolate that verse from the previous verses. The previous verse, let's read it, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, okay, so let's read from verse 8. So he's saying, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He said, so what God is, he's not telling you that you cannot think like him, because this is a limiting mindset that allows us to think, "Oh, I can't think like God. God says his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts." That could be the case, but God is saying, don't stay there. That's why he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." God is telling you, forsake your way and take whose way? My way. Because your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. It says, forsake your own way and take up my way. Forsake your own thoughts and take up my thoughts. Come up hither. These are limiting mindsets that put us where God never intends for us to be. And so much more as a new creation Christian, as a New Testament believer, you are one with the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit, that it's only a man's spirit that knows what a man is thinking. And God's spirit knows what God is thinking. And guess what? God has given us that spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we should get rid of all these limiting mindsets. God is trying to draw us to his level. And somebody may think, "So are you trying to equate yourself with God?" No, I'm not the one trying to. It's God that is wanting me to come up here. He says, "Your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts." And I'm like, God wants me to have his thoughts? Does God really want me to have his thoughts? And when I see things like this in the world, I go back and read about all the things that God has said about himself. So I'm trying to see, are these the same thoughts I should have? God says, "I am invincible." Are you telling me that I can think I am invincible? Because he says, "I must have his thoughts." God is, he's saying, I am the highest. I am the greatest. And you know what the Bible says? He that is born from above is greater than all. Were you born from above? You were born from above. He that is born from above is greater than all. And I'm like, God really wants me to have his thoughts? And brothers and sisters, If your thoughts have not been in a certain place, your mind, your body cannot be there. Yeah. Your thoughts precedes your body being there. If your thought is that we are in the world and we are just supposed to be sick, if that is your mentality, is God sick? You know, this may sound crazy, and I have been told I am not living in reality. I have been told I am crazy. I have been told these things you are saying, they are wrong. I mean, somebody told me, God hates people like you. You are proud. Why are you equating yourself with God? I said, listen, I did not say it.
I said, I am just a humble servant of God who sees what God has said, and I latch onto it for dear life. This was the same thing the Pharisees said to Jesus. How can you call yourself a son of God? I said, this is the same thing. I told the person, no, I'm not proud. As a matter of fact, Jesus will see you more as a proud person because you're refusing his thoughts. You're refusing his ways. You know, the Bible says that there is going to be a time people will kill you and think they're doing God a service.
Praise the Lord.
So the Bible says God wants us to have us, because if we don't have his thoughts, we are limiting what God may want to accomplish in your life. And we just think, oh, God will heal me. But you need an understanding. God needs your mind to be a healing mindset. If not, it's not going to work. We don't do this in the world. If you want to become a doctor, you go to school and you study assiduously to become a doctor. But a Christian is a free-for-all. There are no principles. There are no things to read. We just think, I can just wake up and say, oh, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. That's why many people are dying and giving Christianity a bad name. Because we think there is nothing to do. We think there is nothing to study. We think we don't need to change our minds. And God is telling us, no, renew your mind according to the word of God. Draw closer to God. See, there is a certain way that you can know God. There is a certain way you can know God. For example, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they invite Jesus and Mary and the disciples to a wedding, and they run out of wine. And Mary goes to Jesus, his son, and says, they have no wine. And Jesus says, what is that to me and you? My time has not yet come. What does Mary say? Mary tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Michael, I can't get over why Mary responded that way. When Jesus tells you, my time has not yet come, this is God. His word is final. Jesus tells Mary, my time has not yet come. Now, remember that Jesus says, I don't say anything except the Father tells me to say it. So this is probably from the Father. He says, the Father tells me what to say. Jesus says, my time has not yet come. What did Mary know about God to tell the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it? What did she understand about who this his son was? And I'm like, Lord, what did Mary know? Because listen, once Jesus said, my time has not yet come, from here out, I said, oh, okay, he's in a bad mood today, he doesn't want to do anything. That's what my response would have been. But Mary said, whatever he tells you to do. How did she know? There is a certain way you can know God. There is something you can know God, and God can act. Mary had faith. Mary had faith. Even when Jesus had said, his time, my time has not yet come. Do you know what that means? Faith, your faith can override the time of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't believe that.
Amen.
Your faith can override the time of God. I can give you another example about that. The Syrophoenician woman goes to Jesus to heal her daughter. What did Jesus tell her? I was sent to the lost house of Israel. I wasn't sent to you. And the disciples are telling you, drive this woman away, for she cried after us. Jesus, and you know that Jesus, prior to this, Jesus, when he sends out his disciples, he tells them, don't go to the Gentiles. Go only to the lordship of the house of Israel. So by the word, by two witnesses, let the word be established. So this was a truth. That it wasn't the time for this woman to receive her miracle. But guess what? This woman got what she wanted. Why? Because of her faith. Faith can override the timelines of God.
Yeah.
You can know God a certain way. We say that God has the final word. Really? This is for baby Christians, God has the final word.
But listen, for Christians that know God a certain way, for Christians that know the heart of God behind every scripture, your faith can get God to move his timeline for you alone that understands. For some other persons, some other woman would have gone to wait because Jesus, God's intention was to reach the Gentiles later on, not right now. But that woman, because of her faith, got what other people are still waiting for. You can get what people are still waiting for if you know God a certain way. This is why you buy the truth and sell it not. What does it take? What does it take for you to know God? How much do you have to invest your time? How much do you have to shut down your TV, shut down your phone and say, Father, Lord, things have to change. You know, I still can't. Rose gave a testimony some time ago when she came about getting tired of being sick.
Getting tired and really wanting God to do something. You know, I got to a point in my Christian life, and this testimony still astounds me every time I think about it. The testimony about my visa, or family's visa, and how we got it sorted. You know, all of my life, as a Christian, all my life we have a need, we believe God, but then we go to the bank and borrow money.
We are praying for God to provide, and then we go to the bank, we help God to meet that need.
Yeah.
We act like our God cannot do it. And you know what? And we were looking at between 10 and 12,000 pounds, and we had no such money. I mean, that testimony, it still gladdens my heart, because that was the very first time in my life as a Christian that I drew the line on the sand. I said, if I perish, let me perish. Something has to work. This Christianity has to work, or let's pack this thing up and do something else. It has to work.
Amen.
So we are facing
at 10,000, this thing was working, Jesus name.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay.
So we are facing a huge amount of money, 10,000 and 12,000 pounds, which we have no thing where that's going to come from. And so my husband tells me, okay, you know this person, why don't you go to this person and see if they can give us the money? And that just told me that I'm not inclined to do that. Let's go, let's get some money from the bank. And I said, you know what, I am not getting any money from the bank. I'm just doing the process. And it can cause a lot of squabble and quarrel until when you are believing one thing and your husband is believing one thing. But you know, I just got tired of just hearing of miracles happening to other people, and I'm believing this thing, and I have nothing to show for it. I said, Lord, I die here. It works or it doesn't. Prove that this works. And I said, if it means that we are going back to Nigeria, I'm packing my things and I'm ready to go. You know, there are some times that you need to take a stand.
Amen.
Yes.
You need to take a stand.
Amen.
I took a stand. I'm not doing anything. I'm not borrowing money. I am not telling anybody. God is more than able. And it came true. And when all was said and done, I had even some money left over.
Hallelujah.
Can you believe that? But I did not think we could afford. I had some money left over.
Hallelujah.
We have to know God a certain way. When God says, you know, we ask God to provide, then we go to the bank, get a loan, and then we come to church and give testimony God provided. Really? And then you send yourself into that. No, borrowing is not a sin, but it's not just the best.
Yeah.
You don't miss heaven because you borrow. But it's not just the best. It's not the best of what God wants for us. People borrow to do these businesses, and that's fine. But for me, at that point in time, I said, no. This is a defining moment.
Amen.
So we have to know God a certain way. Now, what are other limiting mindsets that stops us from knowing God? You know, the Bible says that we are now in the new covenant. And in Hebrews, I think 8 verse 11, it says that they shall know me. They shall not need anybody to teach them. They shall not need their neighbor to teach them, say, know the Lord. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. That's the new covenant. So we can know God. We are not passing through any high priest anymore. It is given for us as new creation believers to know God. But the thing is that, will you settle down? Will you settle down? It says meditate upon the word of God day and night. Meditate upon the word of God day and night. It tells us to read the Bible, but when it comes to meditation, it says meditate upon the word of God day and night. Listen, meditation is what gets you to understand God. Meditating on the word of God is what gets you to know who really God is. If you knew who it is that is asking you for a drink, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked and you would have given. And in Psalms chapter 1, when describing who a righteous person is, the Bible says that this righteous person meditates upon the word of the Lord day and night. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian that just wakes up in the morning and does your devotion, read your Bible, close it, that aspect of your life is done. I have fulfilled an obligation. And then you go throughout your day, you're not thinking about God, you are not going to see a lot of the kingdom of God manifest in your life. I can tell you that. It says, do you know that? I used to think that it wasn't possible. I have a job, I have a family to run. Meditate on the word of God day and night. But I've come to the realization that God never asked you to do anything if you were not capable of doing it. God wants you to meditate upon the word of God day and night. It is from meditation that you have understanding of who God is. I tell you, listen, I am just one person that God has changed my life. And you know, preaching the gospel or Christianity is just one beggar who has found food somewhere and tells other beggars, come, I've seen food. There is food here for all of us to enjoy. Listen, God, I mean, the church that I was growing up, if you ask any of the adults to choose them, any child you think that God could use that could speak the word of God, nobody would have chosen me. Because I was some kind of teenager then. But I tell you, God, when you hear that God has turned somebody's life around 180 degrees, that's me. My parents and people at home, because they haven't seen me in a long time, they still don't have a clue who God has turned me into. Yeah. They still don't have a clue. And I haven't really told anybody anything, but they just hear the things that I say. But I tell you, God is just looking for someone who can be a nobody, who just can be nothing, so that he can be your all. He can be your all. He's just looking for a nobody. You know, one day, I go to my neighbor, and she shows me her hospital bill. She shows me back in Jamaica, she shows me her hospital bill. And I left that woman with a resolve. I said, Lord, I mean, if something like that were to happen to me, who would help me?
I left that woman with a resolve, and I told myself, if I wasn't seeking the Lord before, I am going to seek the Lord more, because there is no help from anywhere. Listen, when you think you are by yourself, you are the prime candidate that God is looking for. When you think that nothing is going for you, you are the person. God wants to have all the glory. He doesn't want your intellect. And I'm like, Lord, if you're looking for intellect, no, I just want everything of yours. God is looking for someone who just draws close. Father, your wisdom. Father, anything you want to do. Do you want me to fly? And this is another thing. Brothers and sisters, open your mind. God can speak anything to you. You know, God has spoken some things to me that I never heard anybody say. And you're wondering, Lord, can I even run with this revelation? I've never heard anybody say. But you just open your mind. And sometimes I hear things in the spirit and I'm like, no, Lord, you can't be serious about this. This is too wonderful. One day, as I'm praying about, I think, issue of death, because I used to have it's like there was a spirit of death hanging over me. I used to be so afraid of dying. And I said, Lord, please help me to get rid of this. And one of the scriptures that came to me was, I lay down my life when I want to. I laid down my life. I was just meditating and that came to me. I laid down my life when I want to. Who said that in the Bible? Who made that statement? I laid down my life when I want to. It was Jesus. And I said, Lord, no. Now, this was attributed to Jesus. Do you think, Pastor Father, can I claim this? I lay down my life when I want to. Do I have that much control over my life? And you know, there are some things you hear, you want to reject it, but the Holy Spirit is so good. God is so amazing. He tells you, no, don't reject that word. Just keep it. Open your mind. And by the time you open your mind, He brings other scriptures that helps you to understand that this is God, that this is true. Why would God say that when He has given us a choice? He says, I lay down my life when I want to. So God is telling me, listen, take control. You lay down your life when you want to. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You lay down your life when you want to. You know, the Bible says that we are completely identified with Jesus. We are one with the Lord. But it looks like Christians only want to identify with Jesus in some aspects. We don't want to completely identify with Jesus, because if we did, we would claim that statement. Jesus said it, I lay down my life when I want to. If I'm completely identified with Him, I can say it. I lay down my life when I want to. The devil cannot take it away from me. I lay down my life when I want to. And this comes with knowing God. God wants to give us the best things. He says, if you knew me and you knew my gifts, you would have asked and I would have given you. He says, rivers of living water. He says, I would have given you living water. You know that God wants to give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He says, rivers of living water shall flow out of you. You know, if rivers of living water is flowing out of you, that means it's not all for you. You can't take in all of that. That means the rivers are going to affect other people. God has called us to influence other people. God, you see, I was reading the Bible and it's like God was telling me, you are going to have to choose who you want to be. Do you want to be the multitude who are looking for healing all the time? Or do you want to be a disciple? You can choose. You know, I was reading the Bible and it says the multitude were sent away. The multitude were sent away, but He drew His disciples closer. And God said, He just opened my eyes and said, you can choose what you want to be. You can choose to be amongst the multitude who are always looking for healing, which is not bad. But there is a certain mentality that keeps you in the multitude, and there is a mentality that keeps you as a disciple. And you are the one giving help to others. It says, rivers of living water shall flow out of you. If you know God a certain way, God will reveal himself to you in those ways. He says, if he tells the disciples where he's living, he says, anyone that believes, listen what he's telling the disciples. He says, they shall speak in tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. They shall drink deadly things. It shall not harm them. Look at all the things he's telling those who are disciples. They are the ones giving. They are giving healing. They are the ones expressing the power. They are not the ones begging. They are not the ones begging. They are the ones giving. Rivers of living water shall flow out of you. So you can decide, what mentality do I want to have? Do I want to be amongst a multitude? Or do I want to be a disciple? And you can begin to tailor your mind towards being a disciple. You can know God a certain way. You can know God a certain way. And God is calling us by the truth, whatever it takes. Have understanding. God wants to give us the best of things. You know, when Jesus changed the water into wine, it was the best wine. It was the best wine. Do you know, in my life, I have believed God for things. And one particular incident that happened, I was willing to settle for something less because the circumstances, I didn't think I was able to afford what was best. So I was willing to settle. And God told me, why are you willing to settle for second best? Why don't you believe me to give you the best? Brothers and sisters, God says, if you knew God, we think that God is El Chico. God is El Shaddai. He's not El Chico. God wants to give his children the best of things. You know what? I think it's with the Syrophoenician woman still. When she comes to get healing, what did Jesus tell him? Let the children first be fed. Brothers and sisters, as a child of God, you are first in line for his best gifts. Let the children first be fed before I think of other people. You are first in line. If there is anybody that should be healthy, you are first in line. Let the children first be fed. And that doesn't mean we don't pass through circumstances. We pass through circumstances, but with our faith, the just shall live by faith, not shall die by faith. The just shall live. They just shall live by faith. And things come to try us. He said the trying of your faith, not the defeating of your faith. The trying of your faith, it shall make you perfect and entire. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like problems, but problems, when they come, are what gives us the testimonies. Yeah. God wants to give you a wow testimony. But do you want a wow problem? Do you want a wow problem? We want, as Christians, we want this life at night. Oh, I've been a Christian for many years. I have never been sick. I have everything I need. I've never had to believe God for anything. That's boring. That's boring. I have been through fire and came out of it. I have been diagnosed with sickness and I came out of it. That's a wow story. That's a wow story. That is a story that people can relate to. That is a story you can use to teach other people things. But a story that is just, oh, I've never been sick. I don't really learn anything from that. The world is bedeviled with all kinds of problems. And people are looking for solutions. People are looking for people who have passed through things so that I can be an example to them. God wants us blessed. God wants us blessed. And we have this idea, oh, God just wants to satisfy our needs, not our wants. You know, there are so many cliches in the body of Christ that as you draw close to God, God will help you to unlearn many of the things you hear in church. Somebody made that statement. God wants to provide for your needs, not your wants. And when I was meditating on that because my spirit did not really accept that. And God asked me, who defines what your needs are? Is it Abraham Maslow? Is it Abraham Maslow? You know who he is, right? The hierarchy of needs. Who defines what your needs are? So the world has told us our needs are food, shelter, and clothing. But God says, I'm going to supply your needs according to my riches in glory. Who defines what your needs are? God is telling me, I define what your needs are. If I give you 10 parts, that's what you need. So we have to, listen, we can limit God by our mentality and what we have heard. And this tells us, listen, everything, every popular cliche you hear that your spirit does not agree with, go to God about it. And we talk about the issue of prosperity, whether God wants to bless us or not. God wants us to be blessed. And not just a little bit of blessing. I'm talking now about material blessing. Material blessing. God wants us blessed. You know, when it comes to the spirit world, we attribute things to God that we don't attribute to an earthly father. If a father is rich, you will expect his children to be rich, right? If my earthly father was rich, and you saw me with an inferior maybe car or anything, you'll be wondering, why is she having that? But when it comes to God, we attribute something different to God. God is living on the streets of gold, isn't he? Well, if he doesn't want me rich, he's certainly not living by good example. If he doesn't want me rich. And you know, when I was meditating on this, God told me, he said, when you are speaking on this, ask this question. So this is an instruction that I'm going to ask you. How many of you may have prepared your wills for what you will leave behind for your children. How many of you will strike out your children's name and put mine? Delete your children's name and put my needs. If you cannot do that, why do we think that God is a different father? He owns the world. And we think that God is a different kind of father. He doesn't want to be blessed. We think that that being poor is more pious than being richly blessed, so you can be a blessing. It's just because of where our minds are. Prosperity has been so used to manipulate people, to collect money from people. That's the problem. Anything that is authentic will have a counterfeit. That is why the Bible says, seek me first. Seek first the kingdom. The problem is that our focus are now on all these things. But the Bible says, if he did not withhold his son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Yeah. If we just suppose Jesus and the best material thing available, which one is more valuable to God? Which one is more valuable? Jesus. And he gave you Jesus. Then what is there that he cannot add to you as long as your eyes are focused on Jesus? There are so, for me, I want to be blessed because I realize that I am a blessing. I'm supposed to be a blessing. I'm the light of the world. And so I want to be blessed because there are so many people whose destinies are depending on my being blessed. There are so many people who will not read the Bible for themselves, but God is a loving Father and still wants to reach them. There are so many people who will not have time or who don't really have the desire to read the Word like God has blessed me with. And so I can receive from God. I can be a blessing to so many people, which you can also be a blessing. If you knew God and the gifts he wants to give, you would have asked. And he would have given. So, brothers and sisters, there is a call of God upon each and every one of our lives. Let's know God a certain way. Let us live the lights of our phones, the lights of our TV. You know, let's get into the presence of God. Let us have an open mind. Let the Bible says your eye is a lamp to your body. And if your eye is filled with light, your whole body is flooded with light. Let me just give just this one example. You see, one day I am at work, and I'm going to end with this. I know our time is going. One day I am at work, and you know this pulse oximeter that we use to measure oxygen level in your blood. I've used this thing so many times, but as I was using it that day, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this oximeter. And you just clip this thing on your finger, and the light, your blood is able to absorb this light, and then you look on the monitor and it tells you your oxygen level. And I came back home and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is a non-invasive procedure. You were not pricked. The blood did not come out, just a light. And I'm like, this is a lesser light. We have the greatest light, the light of the Word of God, the light, Jesus, living on the inside of you. Look at what lights that men have created can do. Radiation is killing cancer cells. Look at micromagnetic waves. It can harm us. Look at what X-rays can do. Look at the lesser lights of the world. And you think that the light of God inside you will leave your body the way it is. And you think that the greatest of all light, the physical realm, is a child of the spiritual. The physical realm is showing us what happens in the spirit. And you think that the greatest light that gave birth to all these lesser lights will enter your body and leave it the way it is. It's impossible. It's impossible. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 13, that nothing is impervious to the Word. If the light of the Word can enter your body and kill cancer cells, how much more the light of the Word of God? It can never leave your body the same. So, brothers and sisters, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew God, you would have believed Him. And you will see the great hand of God in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, for your word. Oh, Father, thank you, Father, for your word. May we have the understanding. May we know you a certain way. Thank you, Father, so that you can reveal yourself to us. May we know you so that the arm of your strength can be revealed to us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.